The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 18, where we hear of the unforgiving servant. You may be seated. Matthew 18, as we heard in the beginning last week, is a chapter that's absolutely packed with opportunities for us to learn and to grow in God's love and his tender care for all of his children. We heard last week that Jesus cares for all of his sheep as he exhibits his work as the good shepherd. Matthew chapter 18 also gives us that call for brothers and sisters in Christ to work out our differences in a God-pleasing manner so that we might restore relationships when we've sinned against one another. All of this is Jesus speaking to his disciples and to us, and Peter must have been taking all of these things into account when he poses this follow-up question to Jesus. He says, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Peter recognizes Jesus' desire that the forgiveness of the disciples, the forgiveness of all of us, would reflect that forgiveness that Jesus is preaching to them. And so Peter tries to quantify this command of Jesus. He wants to put a number on it. And so Peter's probably thinking here, I'm going to take the amount of times that the rabbis tell me I have to forgive someone. And that number is 3. That was the requirement at that point in time. And Peter says, I'll go ahead and I'm going to double that number. And then just for good measure, I'll add one more onto it to make sure that I'm covering my bases. And then I'll ask Jesus if that's acceptable, if that's a good number. Or maybe it's a starting point for a negotiation between Peter and Jesus about how often we actually have to forgive. But Jesus has no intention at all of quantifying his command. Even though he gives a number, in some translations it's 77, in other translations it's 70 times 7, the point that Jesus is making is that no matter how many times your brother comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you are to forgive him. The bottom line is that for Jesus, there is no debt that's too big. And Jesus now tells a parable as his way of explaining to the disciples and to all of us as well what he means when he says that we are to forgive 77 times. And so he tells them a story of a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. There are many questions that could be asked while we read this particular parable, but I'd like to address 3 of them this morning. And the first is this. Why did that king wish to settle accounts with his servants? I suggest that it has nothing at all to do with the money. A king who could afford to lend the sums of money that he lent to this one servant and maybe also lent to others, certainly would not have needed that money back. Perhaps he was in the process of raising funds for a building campaign, or maybe he was looking to wage a war and needed the money for a military endeavor. But it's much more likely that he was just simply trying to tie up loose ends. And even more specifically than that, he was attempting to make right the relationship between himself and his servant. Because whenever there's a debt, there's going to be an imbalance in the relationship between the two people who are involved in that exchange. The king desired to have a right relationship with his servant. And in a parable, it's safe to assume whenever there's a king or a master or a father, that's going to be God himself. And in this parable, our place is obviously as the servant. The relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father is constantly in flux between balance and imbalance. The very sin that we commit places us in the debt of our Father, and even more so in a place where we are incapable of making right that balance in the relationship that we have thrown out of whack. So our Heavenly Father beckons us to Himself. And as that servant, to throw ourselves on our knees, imploring Him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." The problem that we have is that just like that servant, we have nothing to give which could ever make that relationship right with our Heavenly Father. But like the King, our Heavenly Father makes that relationship right for us without any payment at all. He's able to do so because that payment has already been made on our behalf by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior Jesus Christ. His sacrifice is sufficient to be the payment of any debt that we accrue through our sinfulness. And as a result of His actions on our behalf, there is no debt that's too big. Speaking of large debts, the second question that I would ask is, how is it even possible that this servant has accrued such an enormous debt? The text tells us that one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But just as Jesus' words to Peter when he tells him that he needs to forgive 77 times, those words are not meant to be a precise measure or a specific goal. That 10,000 talents is simply meant to be a figure to show that that debt was so huge that it could never, ever be repaid. But since I'm a math guy, as you guys know, I wanted to figure out what that would actually equate to. So I did a little bit of research, and there's a lot of different things that tell you about what a talent is equal today. But one of them said that a talent is equal to the amount of money that a servant could earn in 20 years of serving his master. If that's the case, 10,000 talents would have taken this man 5,000 lifetimes to be able to pay off. There was a man in Washington State who had an interesting experience while he went to use his PayPal credit card at a gas station. And he pumped his tank full of gas, and he paid $25 for that tank full of gas. But then when he got home, he had a message on his answering machine. And the message, which was from PayPal, was asking him to verify a gas purchase in the amount of $81,400,836,908. And then to add insult to that injustice, the message also notified him that he would incur a $90 overdraft fee. Of course, the man didn't have that kind of money to pay that kind of debt, nor did that man legitimately owe that debt. In contrast, the debt that we owe is ours. Every sin we commit, every time we break even one of God's commands, we accumulate a debt that we could never repay. Every time we put our fear, love, and trust in ourselves or anything else above God, we've built a debt as large as that servant who was called before his master. But we can't pay it any more than that man who had the $81 billion credit card charge. That man was eventually able to convince the company that while gas prices are soaring, he didn't have room in his tank to put $81 billion worth of gas. In our case, Jesus paid the debt for us. Whatever the number is, there is no debt too big. When we fall on our knees and we plead for mercy, our Heavenly Father sees not us, but He sees the blood of Christ and His sacrifice that has already paid that price for us. The third question that I want to address from this parable is, what does the servant do with this newfound freedom? The text tells us, out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. This is a major life-changing victory for this servant. That servant, moments before, was either destined to a lifetime of service to this master without ever being able to even make a dent in that debt, or to being sold along with his wife and children to cover just a small portion of what he owed. And this man now has an absolutely clean slate. What greater freedom is there than to be fully free of debt? But instead of celebrating his victory and his newfound freedom, the servant seeks an opportunity to get ahead for himself. It's likely that this servant never pressed his fellow servant for repayment of that debt, because even if he had gotten any of it, it likely would have just been passed over to the king anyway, to whom he owes 500,000 times what this other servant owed him. Now that he's debt-free, though, he seizes, literally seizes the opportunity to be repaid that debt which is owed to him. And the text clearly tells us how well this works out for the man. His fellow servants witness his lack of forgiveness, and when the master hears about it, he puts the man in prison until his debt should be repaid. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. When the world outside these walls looks in and sees us, do they see a people who are unwilling to show others the same love and mercy that was first shown to us by our heavenly Father? If so, then we know exactly what our fate is going to be. Jesus is very clear that we are to show the very same forgiveness that he's shown to us, to all of our brothers and sisters. 77 times, 490 times, an infinite number of times is what we're called to do. How could we not, when our heavenly Father continually does the same for us? We're constantly in this state of balance and imbalance with our Heavenly Father in our relationship with God. We commit sin, accumulating a debt that we could never pay, but then we are continually forgiven, wiping that slate clean. For he has shown mercy to us over and over again, despite the enormity of debt that our sin has placed us in. How could we not show the same mercy and forgiveness to others when the sacrifice which is already paid for us shows us that there is no debt too big? Winston Churchill paid a great tribute to the young men in the Royal Air Force who protected England during World War II when he said, "Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few." We take that particular quote and we turn it around a little bit when we're thinking about Christ and the debt that we owe to the one who gave everything for us. We can make it sound a little bit more like this. Never in the history of the universe has mankind owed so much to one. The one who laid down his very life that we might know what it means to be fully forgiven and free of all of our debt. Focus your hearts and your minds on the one who has forgiven us of a debt that seems too big. And forgive others of the debt that to you sometimes seems too big. But above all, rejoice in the fact that we have a God who both delights in forgiving his people and also empowers us to forgive one another. In Jesus' name, Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.